Morning. It's just so wonderful to have the opportunity to speak with you once again. As I mentioned the last time I spoke, it seems that whenever I have a chance to tell my story, the devil would begin his attacks on me. I would discover the reason why while reading a book written by Billy Graham. He says, Satan does not care how much you theorize about Christianity or how much you profess to know Christ. What he opposes vigorously is the way you live Christ, the way you become an instrument of mercy, compassion, and love through which he manifests himself to the world. If Satan can take the mercy out of Christianity, he has killed its effectiveness. If he can succeed in getting us to talk a good game of Christianity, but live a poor one, he has robbed us of our power. Now when these attacks occur, like they did this morning, I use the words of Billy Graham to give me the confidence that I am doing what God has called me to do. When the devil attacks you, may these words bring you comfort as you do what God has called you to do. Let us pray. Good morning, Heavenly Father. Good morning, Lord Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, I pray we live this day in your presence and please you more each day. Lord Jesus, I pray we take up our cross and follow you. Holy Spirit, I pray that you fill us with yourself and that your fruit ripens in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Holy Blessed Trinity, three persons in one God, please lead us and guide us in all that we do. And let thy will be our will, and let us walk forward confidently sure what thou hast planned for us is better than anything we could plan for ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's been almost a year since I returned back to this church after a two-year absence. And over the past year, I've been truly blessed because of people like you. How often I think in the words of King David, who am I, O Lord, and what is my family that you brought us this far? I just wanted to take this opportunity to thank you all from the bottom of my heart. I raise you all up as my Ebenezer. You know, some of you may not know my story. To those who do, I apologize for repeating myself. But I believe it bears repeating so one may have an idea of where I've been and how, through the grace of God, I've been led here today. In the words of the Apostle Paul, by the grace of God, I am who I am. For years, I'd lived with an unconfessed sin. I took something that didn't belong to me. And in the words of the prodigal son, I had sinned against heaven and I sinned against man. My sin led to a prison sentence. The judge ordered me to spend my incarceration in the least restrictive facility as possible and as close to my family as possible. But instead, I was sent 750 miles from home to a high security prison where I would spend a year, much of the time, locked in a 6x10 cell. I decided to use that time to work on my relationship with God. For I knew God was the only way my family and I were going to get through this. I also knew God was the only way we were going to make it once I was released. The scripture reading today tells us Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen, and he named it Ebenezer, saying, thus far the Lord has helped us. The Israelites had great difficulty with the Philistines, but God rescued them. In response, the people set up a large stone as a memorial of God's great help and deliverance. You know, during tough times, we may need to remember the crucial turning points in our past to help us through the present. Memorials can help us remember God's past victories and gain confidence and strength for the present. But you know, sometimes life can become so dark that we're unable to see our memorials. It's times like these when the Spirit or a friend full of the Spirit will show us the light. As I was approaching the time for me to come home, I was really struggling with the chance that it may never happen. You see, it wasn't bad enough that my sin sent me to prison, but on top of it, I had to spend a year in Oklahoma and a year in South Dakota. It had been 25 months since I'd seen my family. But even though we were separated, I would learn firsthand that nothing could separate us from the love of God. For I, like the Apostle Paul, am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. But I just wanted to go home. More than anything else in this world, I just wanted to see my family. So I voiced my concerns to Pastor Mary, and as always, she came up with the right verse at the right time. She emailed me back, and she may have been shaking her finger at me.
Surely not. Surely I would not do that.
John, she emailed me back, John, you need to raise your Ebenezer. The Lord has brought you this far. You see, I spent the last 2 years reading and studying the Bible, and for some reason that verse never jumped out at me. Boy, it sure did now. The right verse at the right time. I raised up and continue to raise up Pastor Mary as my Ebenezer. So I went back to my room, read the book of Samuel, and began to raise my Ebenezer. I went to my locker and pulled out a couple of shoeboxes full of cards and letters that were sent to me during my incarceration. The majority of the cards were from many of you who are sitting in the pews here today. Oh, how they lifted me up. They've become my Ebenezer, my way of recalling how good God and the people of God had been to me and my family. And then I looked at my prayer list. I'd started a prayer list when I became incarcerated and saw how many prayers the Lord had answered. And one of the most important prayers answered was my family and I were kept safe, strong, and together. I saw firsthand how faithful God had been to my family and I. Answered prayers would become my Ebenezer. So after taking the advice of Pastor Mary and raising my Ebenezer, I was ready to go home and confident the Lord would let nothing stand in my way. My family would become, and it always has been, my Ebenezer. They stood by me when I failed them. You know how easy it would have been for them to turn their backs. Who would have blamed them? Certainly not me. They'll always be my Ebenezer. Since I've been home, God has opened doors for me to tell my story at various churches in the area. There is just no greater joy for me. I get to give something back to the God that's given me so much. Like I said before, who am I, O Lord? And what is my family that you brought me this far? After one of the services, I had the opportunity to speak to a man who had terminal cancer. You know, he may have been dying, but he was more alive than most of the people I'd ever met. And he began to tell me that how after his chemotherapy, he'd be so worn out and cold that he would need to lie in bed for hours. But he'd use this time to commune with God. He said, As I spoke to the Lord, I could feel his radiance shining on me, and I was no longer cold. And as he continued to speak, I could feel his radiance of his spirit shine on me. You know, listening to him, I could not help but think that this man had received the comfort from the God of all comfort as I had received when I was cold and lonely, locked in a prison cell. You see, what I've come to realize is our God does not look at whether it's our personal sin or the sin of Adam that brings us to him. The only thing that he asks is that we come to him. You know, there may be times in our lives when we're separated from the outside world through an illness or tragedy, or in my case, a prison sentence. God's always waiting for us, ready to welcome us home. You know, only a couple of months ago, the man went home to be with the Lord. And upon his arrival, I can imagine the Lord saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant." When times get tough, I lift that man up as my Ebenezer. I spent a good portion of my sentence reading faith-based books. In Billy Graham's book, The Secret of Happiness, he told a story of a friend who lost his job, a fortune, his wife, and a home. But he tenaciously held on to his faith, the only thing he had left. And one day he stopped to watch some men doing stonework on a huge church. And one of them was chiseling a triangular piece of stone. Sorry about that. The friend asked, "What are you going to do with that?" The workman said, "You see that opening way up near the spire? Well, I'm shaping this down here so it'll fit in up there. Tears filled his friend's eyes as he walked away, for it seemed God had spoken through the workman to explain the ordeal for which he was passing. I'm shaping you down here so you'll fit in up there. After you've suffered a while, make you perfect, settle you, echoed the words of the Bible. I'm sure we've all had times in our lives when we were left with nothing but our faith, our ability to draw on our history with God, and how faithful he had been gives us the strength to press on. For many of us, our faith has become our Ebenezer. On May 26, 2011, I was incarcerated in the county jail where my sentence would begin. It was shortly after I began to write my story. I wanted to write something to glorify God, to give people hope. I had no idea what the story was going to be about because I had no idea what was ahead for my family and I. But I knew God would be leading. I also knew it was time for me to follow. It's been a work in progress. There were times when I thought the book was finished, but the Spirit, or someone full of the Spirit, would let me know there was more work to be done. But I just wanted to move forward. You know, the Apostle Paul tells us, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Others would give me the same advice. Sometimes it's a lot easier to give advice than to take it. But as Paul promises at the end of the verse, if you follow his advice, you'll receive the peace of God, which passes all understanding. So with the peace came completion of the book. I think it was more God working on me than God working on the book. For those of you who've been walking with the Lord and have faith to move mountains, I hope this book reinforces what you've known for a long time, that God is good to those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. To those of you who are beginning your walk with the Lord, it's not easy. The Apostle Paul tells us our sinful nature and the Spirit are in constant battle. He tells us the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They're in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. I'd been a Christian for years. Sin got the best of me, and look where I ended up. And when you profess your faith, the devil will attack. As I mentioned in the words of Billy Graham at the beginning of the message, the devil opposes vigorously the way you live Christ. Peter tells us, be alert and sober mind, for your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. I've seen enough to know that the devil preys on new believers. There were countless times in prison where we would have a fellow inmate pointed in the right direction. He'd start attending church services and Bible studies, sincerely trying to devote his life to Christ. But then something would happen, whether it was trouble at home or peer pressure, something would happen and he would give up. Trouble would come. He'd have no history of God to fall back on, no memorial of God's faithfulness, no Ebenezers to raise. Same thing happens to people, believers on the outside, but rest assured, for he is in you is greater than he who is in the world. But there still may be times when you feel unworthy of God's love or so deep in the dark you can't see the light of Christ. I pray you use my story until you have your own. I pray you raise this book up as your Ebenezer. Friends, it's not easy being a follower of Jesus Christ, but there is nothing like it in this world. I'd like to close with the words of the prophet Jeremiah that tells us what happens when we decide to live our life for God. You'll be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Let us pray. Lord, make us an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as understand, to be loved as to love. For it's in giving we receive, it's in pardoning we are pardoned, and it's in dying that we are born into eternal life. Thank you again for everything. God bless you.